Welcome to Own It from Women Lead Change. I'm Mackenzie Caligiuri, marketing specialist and podcast producer. On today's episode, CEO and host Tiffany O'Donnell talks to Sarah Castillo and Katie Castillo Wilson, who are the founders of Tap On It, a leader in text message marketing. Their proprietary software as a service text marketing platform is used across the country by businesses of all sizes to build, grow, retain, engage, and even monetize databases of users that have opted in to receive content from them via text. Whether the platform is used for marketing, sales, internal operations, or customer service, Tap On It's best-in-class solution helps its clients reach their goals. In January of 2018, Gannett, a leader in local media, invested $2 million in Tap On It to accelerate its growth. The team operates out of its office in Davenport, Iowa.
Welcome, Katie and Sarah.
Hello, good morning.
My, how you've grown. And I don't mean physically. I do not mean that. Let me be clear, my friends. Wow, Tap On It. I feel like I knew you when you were a baby. And now look at you. Look at you.
Yes. Thank you.
I mean, who's gonna give us the rundown on sort of the journey of Tap On It and what it is and wow, where you've been and where you are.
Hi, I'm Katie. I'm the founder and CEO of Tap On It.
I am Sarah. I'm the co-founder and president of Tap On It. And yes, we are sisters.
We are sisters.
So we literally have known each other since we were babies.
Right. And most people would tell you, you know, you don't go into business with your family. I'll say that sometimes it can be tough, but we've made it work. My best friend is our director of operations. She was our first hire. And so we break all of the rules and do everything backwards. Yeah. And yet here we are 9 years later. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. So I have a sister who I'm best friends with. And I will tell you one of the toughest, we're not in business together, but the real stress happens when someone says, okay, who's older? And if I really like somebody, I sort of head them off right away. Yeah. And I say, oh, this is my older sister. That's if I really like somebody. I don't want to even risk like losing a potential friendship. So I'm very clear up front. So I'm not even going to ask you because you guys look like twins.
You usually do say my younger sister.
I'm the older, wiser one.
Uh-huh.
And she's the younger, prettier one.
Okay. It's always good to put that out there like immediately. And then we all have, you know, a clean slate. And a fair shot at a real friendship. Okay, so back to business, Katie and Sarah.
Yes.
So tell us your story.
So before launching Tap On It, I worked in the media industry. We've lived here in Bettendorf, Iowa, in the Quad Cities our entire lives. Sarah's in Nashville now, but I've been here my whole life. And so I had worked for the Quad City Times and Lee Enterprises and kind of fell in love with the advertising space, fell in love with data. I know I'm a total nerd. I didn't know I was a nerd when I was younger, though. So fell in love with data. And when I had this initial idea and reached out to Sarah, it was like, it makes sense to start a business here. And so, you know, over the years, we've had lots of people tell us that we needed to move to Silicon Valley. We've needed to move to New York to be able to make this work. And we're very stubborn. And we also believe that people in general should be able to start businesses anywhere. And anyone should be able to, too. So why not two women in Iowa, right? Starting a tech company.
Why not us? Exactly. Quoting the Iowa Hawkeye women's basketball team. Why not us?
Yes, I love that. Yes. So, I quit my normal person job back in 2014, started working on this idea. We officially launched as Jump On It, just in case anybody remembers that. And that was in April of 2015. Quick story through there. Learned a very interesting lesson about trademarking in our first year of business. No big deal. Changed the name to Tap On It. It was a big deal at the time, but in the long run, it makes far more sense for us to be Tap On It as you tap on your phone, and you should not jump on your phone. So changed the name, but we first launched as a deals platform. So we had built this proprietary technology that allowed us to send out multiple images in a single text message. And that is still like the basis of what we do. But, you know, we had raised about $1 million in the first year of business, which is not enough to start a tech company. Right. And so in order to generate revenue, we launched our deals platform. And basically, you know, it started out just in the Quad Cities. grew from there, but people signed up to receive offers and promotions from a wide variety of businesses in their areas. So you think restaurant, retail, entertainment, it was free to consumers, message and data rates may apply. And then businesses would pay, you know, literally pennies to have their ad texted out to these people. It was shareable, which was one of the ways that we grew, and it was redeemable, which is one of the reasons that the businesses absolutely loved advertising on the platform, is they were getting great traction. It was very trackable. They were seeing new faces. In January of 18, we raised $2 million from what is now Gannett, so the largest media publisher in the U.S., USA Today, lots of other things, which was specifically used to grow Tap on It deals. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we grew over the next 2 years. For Christmas and New Year's of December of 19, we were in Cabo toasting the coolest year ever. We had been at South by Southwest and Cannes. We were active in 42 markets, reaching 500,000 people and planning our nationwide launch, right? Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Best year ever. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. And then let's see, we launched a nationwide sweepstakes on March 2nd, giving away a trip for you.
March 2nd, 2020.
Yes. Giving away a trip for you and seven of your closest friends to go to Greece and spend 5 nights on a private yacht and da 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 da. And that was our growth plan, right? We had a marketing budget behind it.
Sign me up. March 2020. Sign me up for the Greek trip.
Yes, except for about 5 days later, a yacht looked like a cruise ship, and then no one could leave the country. And then all of our businesses that were advertising with us, which is how we made money, had to close. So enter COVID. And the businesses closed. There wasn't a lot we could do. We tried really hard to help keep supporting them through a gift card platform, through all sorts of things. But at the end of the day, our revenue dropped 80% pretty much overnight. It was tough. And, you know, we had been in the process of getting ready to raise a Series A round of funding. At that time, VCs and investors were just not sure what was going to happen. Right. And so those conversations came to an immediate halt. And we had to get really scrappy. Mm-hmm. Luckily, we had already been building out the software as a service side of our business. So, you know, the platform that powered Tap on and still does power Tap on It deals here in the Quad Cities today, is a proprietary, like I said, and it's a software that we built and had always had a plan for other businesses to be able to use the technology.
And we were using it for a few businesses, like here in the Quad Cities, we're already using our technology.
Yeah, they were like our beta customers figuring it out. And so, you know, when everything happened in March, we made a collective decision as a company and with our investors to shift pivot to focusing on the technology. And so we raised money through convertible notes. We were super lucky, blessed, whatever you want to call it. Here in the Quad Cities, we had a ton of support to keep growing. And we started making that shift. And now, I mean, here we are. It's almost been 9 years since we started the company, which is just insane. And we power the customer engagement platforms for SMS and MMS for people like Fisher Price. The Museum of Ice Cream is a really fun client that is using our technology. If you haven't been there, there's one in Chicago, super fun. I mean, Crystal, the fast food restaurant.
We don't have them here, but we do have them down in Nashville,
which is where Sarah lives. Yes. And so all of these different businesses, you know, we work with convention and visitors bureaus. We work with chambers of commerce. We work with
retail businesses, e-commerce and brick and mortar.
We have people who use our technology to communicate with their employees. Like, it's really now spread across industries. And because we've built this platform to be really user-friendly and truly something that's meant for pretty much anyone, we've really become industry agnostic. And so we're not limited to any one category. Now, like, as a consumer, you're probably familiar with the type of stuff that we do, but not necessarily knowing that it may be coming from us or even what it is. But if you've ever signed up on a website to get sent emails and they ask for your cell phone number and then you get a text message about it, that's the type of stuff that we do for retail brands, right? If you leave something in your cart and suddenly you get a text about it that, hey, you forgot this, buy it now to get 10% off. We do those things too. So, you know, we have great integrations for things like that, but then the biggest difference still today between us and everyone else is the multiple images in that text thread. And so, you know, we've built this to be able to include multiple images and content, right? Because in all forms of marketing, you always talk about the fact that content is king. or queen, as we like to say. And so, you know, for a brand of any type to be able to put the content into the text thread, it increases the click-through rates, it increases the conversion rates. And through the rest of our platform, we're able to track all of that and help the brands really recognize what the return on investment is. So we've had a wild ride the past 9 years, but we're super excited about the future. I was at a conference last week in Vegas where we were told that we have the most innovative use case for MMS, and it was a conference with people all over the world. And so we're really proud to have built this, especially being women in Iowa.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
That pivot too. I know we were going to talk a little bit about that. At one, like, we really were a startup within a startup, right? Like, we had started back in 2014, I guess, with this one main idea, and then 2020 kind of that main pivot. It was the same team and the same, you know, everything on the back end, but like a whole new idea that really did make us starting over, which was kind of weird.
Well, and then even now, you know, the economy is in such a weird spot. So like, I'm fundraising again. It feels like it's something I always do. So, you know, we're raising money through investors right now, and the economy is in such a weird space that, you know, investment in technology has dropped big time. So we were already struggling with the fact that less than 2% of VC dollars goes to women-owned businesses, right? And female-founded companies. But now you put out there that people are just not making investments the same way that they were. VCs aren't, and there's layoffs all over the place in technology. And so I feel sometimes like we come across like one issue after another, but we have a true passion for what we're doing and it works. And so we just keep forging ahead.
Yes. You know, it is interesting. You mentioned challenges to being a woman raising capital. Can you share with us what that's like, and maybe how you perceive it as different?
Oh, sure. I mean, it would take a heck of a lot longer than we have today to really talk about it. And usually it's best told over drinks, I'm not going to lie.
But I get it.
It's a struggle, you know, and there were a few things in the beginning that made it hard. On top of, I mean, again, less than 2% of VC capital goes to female-founded companies. So you have that. Mm-hmm. Starting a business in Iowa, the investors in this region or even in the Midwest in general were traditionally more involved in real estate, agriculture, things like that. And so, you know, in 2014, when we first started this and started raising money, talking about building a database of people's cell phone numbers and then sending them ads, basically, people thought we were crazy. Why would you want a database of cell phone numbers? People are not going to sign up to get ads. And yet it made sense. Email open rates aren't what they used to be. For the most part, you have one cell phone number and you never change it. And so, you know, I'm sure we've all heard stories about being told no hundreds of times. We were told no hundreds of times. And they also tell you that, you know, that basically they call your baby ugly, tell you that it's a terrible idea.
Tell you like, oh, your business is such a cute little hobby.
Yes, I got patted on the head once and said, that's really sweet that you've made it this far. We've been told that, you know, you need to be prepared to bring in other people. And this was early on, like, this could be a good idea, but you need to bring in other people to run it. If this is such a great idea, why isn't someone else already doing it? Mm-hmm. You know, those are some of the things. But then you also deal with just the, you know, inappropriate conversations, the inappropriate comments, and that whole space where, you know, unfortunately, oftentimes when you're trying to sell an idea, it feels like you're selling yourself, and other people look at it that way too. And so it's been a struggle. We've been really lucky, as I said, that we have a really fantastic group of investors and advisors, and, you know, we've had to lean on that, but I'm not going to lie. We've almost ran out of money, I think 6 times. We didn't pay ourselves for a very long time in the beginning. And occasionally we don't pay ourselves now. It's about our team. It's about forging forward. And, you know, again, it'll be a great book someday, but the stories and the difficulties that women face in starting companies and raising capital. And why do you raise capital, right? Why do we even have to go out there and raise money? Well, in the technology space, you can't get bank loans, right? It's not, you don't have the asset, right? We were at one point told that if we had started a
a bakery,
a cupcake company, selling
cupcakes,
they could give us a loan.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, no one would buy them because I'm a terrible cook, but thanks for the feedback. But you know, in the technology space, you really, it's just not the same. And so that's why people are out raising money and giving up equity. And it's hard, but when you believe in what you're doing, you're willing to take a smaller piece of a really big pie, right? Than no pie at all.
This is so interesting because we keep hearing, you know, Women Lead Change has been involved with women and minority entrepreneurs for years, starting with Invest in She back in the day. Yeah. And we understood uniquely, you know, how difficult it is for women. So we actually, Invest in She, for example, was for scalable businesses. So it was existing businesses that were ready to scale and we wanted to support them. And scalable wasn't often the bakeries that you talk about, you know, the cupcake shops that really, those are great Main Street businesses that you want to, you know, survive and thrive. When we had success with scalable business, they tended to be technology companies or something that was, you know, like a tap right. on it. But I never even imagined, you know, what you just said, that raising money for maybe something more traditional and is easier than technology.
Well, it's not necessarily the raising, in some cases raising money, but you're exactly right. When it comes to investors and VCs, they're usually looking for some sort of new idea, technology, something like that. It's the traditional funding that is not an option, right? You can't get a bank loan because you don't have an asset. Now, we have so much data and, you know, depending on who you talk to, data is worth more than oil. But not to a bank because they don't know what to do with that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why you go out and have those conversations. And for a very long time, you know, technology companies were getting insanely high valuations. I mean, especially like 2021, it was a crazy time, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we were in the process of pivoting then. And had we been raising money then compared to where we are right now, we might be in a very different space. But we've been lean. We are true operators. Like, our goal is profitability, not just raising hundreds of millions of dollars like a lot of the other companies out there. You know, we have high margins and low overhead. And so instead of doing things the way that you may have in Silicon Valley and being able to get to those sand hill investors, we've had to go about it a different way. And I think in the long run, or I know in the long run, it'll provide a better return to the people who invest in our company and have invested in the company. But it's made our growth a little bit slower because we've had to be very calculated in how we spend money and how we hire and how we market. Whereas, again, these companies that raise hundreds of millions of dollars, they hire a ton of people who are now being laid off. They do a ton of marketing and can't keep up with the growth, right? Like, and so we've been able to be very strategic, but it's been tough.
Elevate your career through Mount Mercy University's Master of Strategic Leadership program. You'll explore leadership styles, study decision-making models, examine change management, reflect on a growth mindset, and hone your personal brand through our practical curriculum. Expand your professional network, grow as a leader, and graduate ready for the next level of your career. Explore our program at mtmercy.edu/msl.
Is living in the Midwest a challenge in terms of raising the capital that you need?
It was 100% a challenge pre-COVID.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I mean, at that point, that was when I was hearing that, you know, we needed to move. And I have kids. And so us moving was just not an option. And now my kids are in college. Mm-hmm. I know it's crazy, right? But
well, and even just for like some of the bigger meetings, it was like, all right, well, you know, come out to our office.
And we did. We spent a fortune on traveling.
Yeah. Yeah. And now at least those big meetings are happening over Zoom. So that is...
It's made a huge difference. I mean, it's actually been able to make us a little bit more budget conscious, which is great. But now people understand that you can, thanks to airplanes and the internet, you really can start a business from anywhere. Mm-hmm. And so the investment coming into businesses in the Midwest has definitely increased. The number of investments, unfortunately, the dollar amount, and I mean, this past year has been crazy. So people are much more open to companies everywhere now than they used to be.
What would you say to somebody listening who may even have an idea, but is in a stable career, you know, may have family, may have kids at home, people relying on them?
I mean, I would tell them, make it your, you know, side hustle until it covers everything that you need.
And I would tell them that's not an option. I mean, really? No. Yeah. I mean, you think about it, like I had a stable career. I had a great trajectory. I was making a lot of money. Everybody was happy, but I had an idea and I didn't know how hard it was going to be. And so in some case, you know, call it ignorance or blind faith or whatever, is the reason that we're where we are right now. And the reason that we still are doing what we're doing right now, mm-hmm. you have to have a support network. Absolutely. I mean, like that's the biggest thing. It can't be a solo decision to become an entrepreneur because you're dragging your family, potentially your friends, your, you know, whomever through all of this with you. And if you are going to raise money, find people who truly believe not only in the idea, but in you as an entrepreneur, because you're going to be the one who's driving things, you know, for the foreseeable future. And you want to make sure that you have people who really get it and are trusting you enough that if things need to change, if you have to pivot, that you'll be making decisions in the best interest of everyone that's involved. And so we have had a very, very fantastic support system. My parents helped with the kids. You know, I'm again, lucky to have my sister as my business partner. We laugh, we cry, we yell sometimes, whatever, but, without the people, and my kids had to go through all of this too, right? They were young and now, they both are probably on paths to become entrepreneurs themselves. They have very big goals. They've done big things. And so it was a great example to be able to set.
They got to see what it actually takes. So
we laughed, we cried, we yelled, you know, but, without them, all of these people believing in what we were doing and supporting us, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So the advice would definitely be make sure that one, you're committed. Don't jump in with both feet. If you're not sure that you want to be focused on this the majority of the time, because, you know, we all talk about like work-life balance. I don't have that. I try, right? But that's why my kids went everywhere with us, is because it was more of an integration and we made it work. But, you know, it's hard. Raise three times as much money as you think you need, plan on it taking three times as long as you thought it would. I mean, I think we said 3 to 5 years when we launched the company. Here we are. almost nine years later. Right. So, I mean, it's harder than you think, but the journey is amazing. We've gotten to do incredible things, right? I mean, like I said, we were at the Cannes Festival in the south of France. Never in my life did I think
that. I mean, who does that?
No, not me, not girls from Iowa.
I mean, that's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. We call this the Own It podcast because we love to talk about our superpowers. Sometimes they're not like, I mean, shiny and sexy and all that. I mean, and they turn out to be a huge reason why we're successful. But I got to ask you both, like, what do you consider your superpower and how do you own it?
You can go first.
Sure. I would probably say resilience. Just because if you really do take everything Katie just talked about over the last 9 years, it's taken a lot of willpower and determination and resilience to keep on pushing through. I mean, even at COVID, during COVID, like it was, we had an easy out, right? Of like
businesses closed, revenues down
all over the place. You know, our business model for Tap on It Deals, you know, wasn't going to get us through, but quitting, failing wasn't an option. And so instead, you know, all right, let's pivot. Let's change our focus. Let's keep pushing through. Like it really, stopping, I don't even think it crossed our mind.
No, it's never been an option. No. And that's, I mean, and still now, you know, there's obviously really hard times, but no, quitting is not an option.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, things are hard. It's not easy. You know, we don't have this massive marketing budget that allows us to put our brand out there in front of everyone where, you know, everyone recognizes our names in the software industry. And so that can obviously be very difficult when we're trying to make sales and reach out to people and get in front of people, but we just keep pushing through and we're trying lots of different things and it's a lot of trial and error and, finding, you know, that sweet spot.
Well, and being resilient.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I would probably say that's my superpower and how I have to own it every single day.
Yeah,
definitely. Because there's many times that it's like, you know, okay, yeah, it would be easier just to go work for somebody else who already has everything figured out and all the processes in place and all the hard problems. And I don't have to be the one dealing with hard problems. But that's not an option either, because doing what we're doing, yeah, it's really hard, but it also is extremely rewarding.
Yeah.
It's a feeling that I don't know where else you would really get it from, except I guess by like raising amazing children. But other than that, like, this is my baby. and so, you know, the rewards that I get from seeing victories.
What we want to do to help empower other women in business. Definitely. I mean, like, that's a big piece of it, is failure is not an option, because we have really big goals for our future beyond Tap on It.
Right.
And part of it is that we want to set an example and pave a path for Latina women in Iowa to start technology companies and to grow them. You know, the investment in the VC investing environment is never going to change from that less than 2% if there isn't some generational wealth to start investing in other people, right? And so it has to start somewhere. And we want to help be that catalyst for change and to help other women and people in general, right? Like, anyone, anywhere can have a good idea. Whether or not their idea turns into something is going to be based on situations. It's going to be based on guts, resilience, optimism.
So networking is really, really, really important.
Right. But it has to start somewhere. And so, you know, our hope is to invest in other people in the future. Our hope is to tell our story, because it's an interesting one. And I think that if we can help other people prevent from making the mistakes that we've made and learn the lessons through us, it will make them more successful in the future too.
Yeah. And I have another superpower that I feel like is for both of us before you go into yours. I think that we are both really good at celebrating like little wins and little victories, which is super, super important as you are building a business and growing and you have the ups and downs. And we have a matching tattoos of a wave on our arm, and it just represents like
the ups and downs.
We actually got it in 2020. Like,
well, and when Sarah came to me with that idea, I'm like, as long as it ends on the upswing.
Yep. But yeah, you know, celebrating those little victories and the small wins is super important, not just for us to, you know, be like, all right, let's keep going. We got this. This was good. Yeah, it was a small win, but every small win is going to lead to the end result. But it's also really good for our team to be able to see that, like, we are excited about
these. Well, it helps them be excited too.
And just keep going. So we've done a really good job, I think, of celebrating those little things, which pushes us to the next level. I think that's a superpower, because there are people that will just, you know, it's just like, okay, cool. On to the next.
Right.
But we like to really make sure that we take a look at those little wins and celebrate the fact that it happened.
Yeah. Well, and I would consider mine to probably be optimism. I talked about blind faith and, you know, ignorance or whatever, because I didn't know what I was getting into. But one, I've never doubted what we're doing when it comes to this makes sense. What we've built makes sense. The technology makes sense. You know, I mean, think about email and how that's a core for every single business out there. Yet the open rates aren't what they used to be. Everybody opens their texts, right? It's that simple, even if it's to get that little red one to go away. And that's literally what the idea started off of. And so, you know, knowing that we're on the right path was a big piece of that. But we have gone through a lot over the years. It's been super hard. We could have quit. Lots of people would have quit. But thanks to that optimism, the network, the passion, you know, and believing that we're on the right track, we've just been able to keep things going and remained optimistic about the future of the company. And that's extremely important as a leader, because you do have to drive that passion and positivity across your entire team, even though doubt creeps in.
Absolutely.
And this is not a superpower I've always had. I've had to develop it over the years. And just like most people who are, you know, owning a business or many positions, you struggle with imposter syndrome, right? Like, who am I to be here? It would just be easier to quit. And yet we constantly have to remind ourselves that the decisions that you make are usually made based on the information that you have at that time, right? And so you make the best decisions possible. And you can't predict the future, right? And so everything we did pre-COVID was based on how we plan to grow then. Mm-hmm. And, you know, plans change. And so when you can't predict the future, you have to remember that it's just change and it's turbulence, to quote Pink, my favorite. We should be, her and I should be best friends. So,
but she should invest.
She should. If anyone knows Pink, please have her call. She can text me. We're big fans of texting. But imposter syndrome is tough. And thinking about what has been accomplished is a really good way to remember that you're in the right spot. Quitting is not an option. Mm-hmm. There's too many people, from family to friends to teammates to customers, that are all depending on the success of the company. It's mm-hmm. hard. Life is hard. We were built for hard things, and I've mm-hmm. never lost faith in the fact that everything happens for a reason and that we've got really great things in our future. And so mm-hmm. optimism and spreading that everywhere else is definitely a superpower.
Huge, huge. Well, I feel it. I feel it through the ether. So thank you, Katie and Sarah, just for living such an example and being really real about it. I think, you know what you said, it's kind of like choose your hard, you know, what kind yeah. of hard do you want? You know, nothing's easy. The good stuff doesn't come from, you know, from the easy. So really appreciate your insight and cannot wait to see where the next, you know, the next chapter for you.
Thank you. Thanks. Well, we're excited to have been here with you and to have known you all these years. And we love what you guys are focused on. Just like aww. I said, we help lead change. And we love that you are driving that every day.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you to all 5,600 plus of you that attended the 2023 Women Lead Change Conferences in Cedar Rapids, Des Moines, and the Quad Cities. We can't wait to see you in 2024. Giving Tuesday is coming up on November 28th, and Women Lead Change is asking for your support. With individual donations, we are able to provide increased access to our events and programs through scholarships and ensure sustainability for years to come for Women Lead Change. Donate at WLCglobal.org. Follow Women Lead Change on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Please give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it so much. More information and tickets can be found at WLCglobal.org.